6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Well, mainly I wanted to find out, first of all, about SWAP. Your position, I think, was secretary of the organization?
Yes, uh-huh.
Who was head of it?
Well, I really was. Oh. I took on the title of secretary because what we were doing at the time was trying to project the leadership to somebody else. So I really kind of led the thing. But we had as co-chairs a guy named Omar Burkhalter, I think was his name, and Jim Costa. One was black and one was white. So they'd carry the title of co-chairs, but I kind of directed everything.
And it was all people living in Cascade Heights?
Right, uh-huh.
How long did the group last?
Well, a good 3 to 4 years.
67 to 71?
Yeah, maybe around that. And I'm not sure about dates.
Okay, but it was around late 60s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was mainly curious about your relationship with the city government, Mayor Allen.
Yeah.
Was did the city actually support a biracial integrated community forming in Cascade Heights?
No, not initially.
That's what I want to hear. Yeah.
And it was very interesting because I knew that I had read something about stabilization, what you would expect if you, in order to have a successful one. I think Washington, D.C., Rock Creek Park, I think, the group there, the neighbors had gotten together, and I went up to talk to them to see what do you hope to have in order to have an ideal format. And of course, everybody says, you know, you have to have city government. And I figured that was the case. So I decided to go. I've always had a theory that you don't start with the underlings, go to the top. So I went to the mayor, and it was Ivan Allen at the time. And Ivan Allen, who, you know, I just really liked him as a person. And he and I had a kind of a rapport with some other things we were doing. So it was not hard to get to him. But he laughed at me. And he said, oh, Jernona. He really had a kind of guffaw laugh. Oh, Jernona, really. You know, you're energetic. And I'd come here from Los Angeles. He said, oh, and I know you came from California. You don't understand how we do things in the South. He said, but I appreciate your spark. But this is one thing I think you will really find will not work. I mean, we just have had all kinds of efforts, not to be specific. Well, he couldn't name anything specifically that had been done, except to specifically define and describe, like the Peyton Barricade, where they put a, you know that way. And so he just said, like, the world of people are waiting to say we won't stay at Black Command. And I said, but that's not a work towards retaining the neighborhood makeup. And he said, oh, and he laughed. And after we had our little visit, as I was leaving, he said, Jernona, I hate to kill a spirit as progressive as yours and a willingness to do and as progressive as you are, but, you know, I'd just like to give it to you, you know, straight. And I hope I haven't discouraged you. I said, Mary Allen, you've probably given me more encouragement than anybody could ever do, because when you tell me it won't work, that's my motivation. I'll prove to you that you're going to come back and say, I support you because it's going to work.
So in other words, the group generally supported maintaining integrated neighborhoods.
Yes. Well, you know what, that wasn't really what we found was their motivation. We found that the educational process was so lacking that people didn't understand what happens with neighbors, you know, if they don't look like them. You know, so the education was the thing that was the most stimulating part of our growth. We ended up kind of staying together for a while.
Yeah.
Because people openly discussed all the fears of what if we stayed, you know, what could possibly happen to us if we had a black neighbor. So we had our greatest success on getting people to explain and describe what their fears would be in case it ended up being a majority black or some black.
So the whites were willing to at least sit down and talk about
they didn't.
Yeah.
That.
So they were willing to stay in Cascade.
Mm-hmm. And of course their fears. So we found that was such a great learning process because we found out what could have, if we had time, to slow the steps of migration either in or out, we probably had more luck in people staying because we don't have majority white now. And not we're trying to get majority white, but we could have had a lot of white people stay. What chased them away ultimately is their fears were, one of them was, that if the neighborhood, the school, gets to be less than perfect, then that heightens their fears. We found we had to deal with the schools, and while we were, getting that fear taken care of, we had a superintendent who did not share our thinking at all. Lepson was the school superintendent. And we said to him, give us the same thing that Northside High School had. That was supposed to be the best school in the city. And we said, well, give us in Southwest High the same thing that Northside had. And then, these people's fears can be allayed. Because, some of it was understood.
So you want that integrated school in the area?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. And in order for it to be integrated, they've got to have, white people have to have the same things, and black people have to have the same things. These are middle-class people we were talking about. So these people who could afford to go where their needs could be met, they could afford to move, and so asking and getting what they wanted, we thought was a simple thing, but, it would happen quickly.
Well, let me ask two things that relate to that. First of all, I had heard that the Board of Education allowed schools to deteriorate in Cascade Heights and other transitional neighborhoods in order to sort of encourage whites to move.
Well, I hate to be drafty enough to say that's the why he did it, but I can say it did happen. Every time we confronted the superintendent of schools, he gave us another reason. So I cannot, I don't know what's in people's minds, so I would not want to go on the record.
Another reason why the schools could not be operating?
Yeah, he just said, we have this, and it costs too much, this kid at Northside High School, and I think it was Lakeside High, it's another good school, had a swimming pool. And, parents, they want their children to swim, and dance programs, creative arts, they like their children to be exposed to that kind of cultural development. And so I've forgotten all the things we asked for, but we found out what they were doing at the schools. And he said, this costs money. So he always gave us a cost factor. That would prohibit putting this over there.
So you don't know whether it's racially motivated.
He never said
that. So I guess then what you're saying is that there would have been a well-functioning integrated school in Cascade Heights if the Board of Education put some money into it.
Yes.
And convinced the whites to stay and also convinced the blacks that they were operating.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
The other thing I got out from somebody else, I was curious about whether you agreed with it, that the city actually just gave lip service to the whole concept of integrated communities. Mm-hmm.
No, wait a minute, they didn't though.
Okay.
Mr. Allen said what I just quoted to you initially. But after that, I took the city council on a tour of the neighborhood. And both the city council and the Fulton County commissioners to see for themselves what kind of neighborhood was out there, because I fear they didn't know. And then also to show them what would happen if we had a deterioration of city services. How, you got to pick up the trash because this is a nice, clean neighborhood and it won't be clean very long if what happens here will happen. It happens here, but it's already happened, say, in Lower Cascade. That neighborhood went down completely. And so they were sympathetic to our cause and did, in fact, they did more than lip service. They saw to it that the streets did not deteriorate in services.
Well, sympathetic in terms of maintaining a black neighborhood, not an integrated one.
Well, no, they did give us the things we asked for that they could provide. I'm not sure they ever said we want to stay integrated or we don't want the whites to run. They never told us that. They just said that they really supported the project and what we could give them. What they could give us, they would.
The project being,
which was, good neighborhood.
This is what I heard from somebody else who was, I guess, one of the major black leaders back in that period. He said an agreement had been reached between black and white leaders after taking over New Orleans in 1962, that blacks would take over all the Southwest area, including Cascade Heights. The whites in the Southwest didn't know the agreement had been made, and that the area would shift with the city's blessing. They weren't going to stop. They weren't going to support integration. They weren't going to stop the whites moving out at all.
Well, I tell you, I wasn't here in 62. So I don't know that. No one ever shared that with me. And so I would, because I don't want to go ready to dispute it because it might have happened. But I do know this, that once If that had been the case, and we wouldn't have had the success we did with developers coming in and putting in multi-family units. So if that's the case, I doubt it, because everybody wants a multi-family unit. And we fought them successfully. And I can tell you for a fact that we had city council persons who were very supportive of our fight against multi-family units. And I could name them. You know, Mr. Summers was a city council person. He lived in the area. Well, not that most of them did. You know, and I had very good support from them. What they were giving was psychological support, but I think when the vote came down, it proved that they must have been with us.
Yeah, that's why I really couldn't say either.
I doubt that, because I think that we had not had, I think the only reason why Swap ever changed, Swap didn't change, the neighborhood changed, is that the schools were the major force.
What was city policy too? They weren't supporting you.
Okay. So if you remember, were you here?
No, she said no.
Okay. Dr. Lepton was, I consider, an individual who had great strengths that were unknown, you know, where strength came from. So maybe that might be it. But I don't know of anybody who ever just said, we love Dr. Lepton, we're going to support him. It just seemed like me, he was an administrator who knew how to get what he wanted, and he had some backup of what he had. Like, most times it was cost. Well, how can you fight a cost issue when he says, you know, we don't determine our cost, the city does. You know, we go by the ballot, you know.
Well, if that's really the issue, of course.
You know, and so, you know, it's hard to fight that. So I'm not really sure, because he might have, but, you know, that's a point. I mean, that's probably not.
Okay, I was just thinking, when I heard this, it was sort of like it was a foregone conclusion the area was going to go black. And that if the whites wanted to stay fine, the city wasn't going to push it, and they weren't going to push integration, and everything had been pretty much decided.
But let me tell you what else happened. Now, the reason I doubt that, the Chamber of Commerce used to give out this kind of information. When a prospective citizen was coming to the area, they would write the city council and say, I mean, the city Chamber of Commerce and say, we're planning to move to Atlanta. Tell us where your good schools are and where your good neighborhoods are. And they used to give them a care of some white neighborhood, and they would give them some white neighborhood school. Well, we said, well, we don't want that anymore. You know, identify Southwest as a good neighborhood, and Southwest High School is a good high school, and West Manor is a good elementary school, and they did. You know, and we tested them. We had someone write to us, you know, and sent us copies. And so that was backed up. And we met with the Chain of Commerce. Now they did that. But see, here's the thing. The reality is, though, that I think we probably had about as much success as anybody can have. There's something about America, you know, not Atlanta, but something about America, where the guy and this dumb person in authoritative position in Utah, was it, just not long ago, about a week, who said, well, this is comparable to the kind of fear that happens when your neighbor ends up being black. Well, here, this is 1986, and white people still make dumb statements like that. So there are still thinkers like that around. So if people still fear that a black neighbor is a bad neighbor regardless of what he looks, I mean, what his income is, then we'll always have, you know, migration. So white people will move out. So I just think that we probably had a blending of black and white longer than any other community ever has, and maybe ever will.
How long did the folks stay?
About 4 or 5 years.
So eventually they moved out?
Yes.
And so...
But you know, there's still some still there.
You see the main reason they moved out then is because of schools.
The schools were a reason to prey upon the people's fears who wondered about the schools, you know, changing over, where there's possibility of devaluation of their scores and all that. Well, where that's rare, really imagine that's a fear. And so they provided it for them, you know, so that kind of gave them the reason to move out. If they say that, you know, this integration thing of neighborhoods, where boys and girls, you got a daughter and your next door neighbor has a boy, then, you know, they might marry. that was the key to one night. We still use that as a kind of example. They had about our largest audience when I went to the last year with our guests. We had about 200 people in the audience from we started the last 22 people in the audience, 200 and more. And I asked them, how many people in the audience were married? Well, majority of the people, of course, were. The majority were. And then I asked them, how many of them married their neighbor? And about one. Not one man, but they were 500 people. But their fears, but racial, I don't want to say segregation, but a certain thing, discrimination, has played havoc with all of us. And so white people are afraid something might happen that you can't even describe. You know, crime rises in the state. They figure, you know, he's right next door. You know, that just happens to us. I think there's a psyche, you know.
Very types of people.
But a lot of people, after the children, they gave us reason, like after the children moved, they didn't need the big houses anymore, you know. Well, you can't argue this much.
Sometimes they filtered out pretty much.
Yeah.
How about,
well, black people? But listen, let me just say, because I just feel so good about the project, that for a long time they stayed and fought the issue that dealt with the fears, and once they ran out of fears, then of course, they stayed. Those who, were just afraid anyway and didn't have children in school and just didn't know what would happen, they knew,
In other words, once they realized property value was going to fall and the schools were right, a lot of them stayed.
But then, you know, what happened is we had real estate people, that's another issue.
Yeah.
Real estate people chased a lot of them out. Some people were willing to stay. And they would tell us, like, this house, they'd say, well, we'll sell it for $40,000. And the person said, listen, I got a client who'll pay you $65,000 for it. Well, I'd give them my house, too. So a lot of the heads, we had a lot of things happen in the neighborhood. So there were people willing to stay, but couldn't afford to give up that acre that was blocked there.
Did the city do any stuff like
that? No, because it was hard to find. We found one guy, we busted one guy. Oh, yeah, we put him out of business. But he was found, I'm afraid he's somebody else. But it did slow things down because we had one guy, we just almost hung him up in a massacre, made him a prime example and embarrassed the city. See, what we did, we embarrassed the city when we found examples of, they're playing footsie with this kind of toy.
Were they playing there?
Yeah, we would think, at least when they said, you say to us if you're for us, and yet this happens, How you allow the sewer over here to back up, and how you allow trash here has not been picked up for weeks. And we call them every time it happens.
Did they respond?
Oh, yes.
Now, did they respond because blacks now were achieving political power, or did they respond because they cared about the neighborhood?
Well, I think they responded because we embarrassed them until they responded. How can you say, I'm for it, and then you don't do anything about it? So I'm not sure where their heart was. But the trucks were out there.
I was curious where the heart was.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Because at that time, it's majority white. We only had one black council person back in those years. So we don't know where it was. But, all we do is go by what they act like they did and what they in fact did. So, that's all I can judge them by.
How about the black leaders in the city? Were they supportive of keeping this area integrated community?
Not particularly.
What was that
attitude was, I think, probably predictable. Like, we don't care. Let them go. And some of the black people already had their homes in South Bethlehem, not a test they had. Already had lots of homes. They didn't care whether they stayed or left. The black people who could afford to buy those homes wanted in anyway, so they said, let them go, because I want that house.
Sure.
So they didn't really care. Black people have never been concerned either way whether whites go or stay. It doesn't matter. And that was the thing we tried to tell them. White people don't care what you do.
You want a good house.
Yeah.
Right.
They want a nice house, and of course, if your house is the nice house, they want them to go. And that opens up the neighborhood. So, and the trend was there. It's probably true what they said, but the trend was probably there. Because black people are already inching into the area. Rather than going to Buckhead, we just take one more block here and one more block here. So the trend was there. So that's the way we do. Black people kind of follow the trend.
So the commitment then was from people living in the community. There was no real commitment to produce an integrated neighborhood from black leaders, and there was no real commitment from the city leaders.
No, but what happened is we brought such pride to the city and the state with our project, because we were getting, like, we were in business 6 months later, and we were in business a year later, and doing very well. So Boston thought we were doing a good job, and they called us to Boston to give us a little citation. Said, "Well, that's really nice." So we get that little citation and makes it Atlanta look good.
Yeah.
And then we went to Philadelphia, and they said, "Gee, you know, we like your project. We want to see what you're doing. We want a pattern after that." Well, we get another little award, little citation, that makes them look good.
Yeah.
And then we had people coming in, your newspaper people coming in and said, "Listen, we want to see this neighborhood you all talk about. That's wonderful that Atlanta's got a stabilization program." They go to the Chamber of Commerce and say, "Tell us about that neighborhood." I was interviewed every third day by somebody who thought this was a wonderful project.
It's great PR for them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So they liked it. So even if they didn't want to, they were kind of, you know, keep on going, your encouragement,
Okay. How about relationships with the Community Relations Commission? Were they involved in
this? Oh, yes. Well, you know, it was formed. We were there first, and they formed the commission after that. We got the first award, the Community Award. SWAT got the first award that was given for community efforts. We brought pride to the city, and they gave us the award. And because we involved everybody, you know, Jewish community, because we got all the religious leaders together.
The Community Relations Commission was active in the Yard neighborhood. Were they doing anything there?
No, they came in after we were in business. But once we were, once they came into business, they called us down to describe for them what we were doing, and then they asked to come to our meetings and see what we were doing. And then they applauded us, but they, we were about going out then, because I changed jobs after that, but they gave us the award because they thought that what we've done was so significant. But they gave us an award, but they didn't do a lot for us after that.
Was there any difference between how Allen handled this and the Southern came in 69?
Yeah, because you have to remember, Allen finally joined in by coming to, we wanted to meet at Greenbrier Auditorium because we had outgrown our little home, so, and we had outgrown the hospital out there, so we needed more space, and we couldn't get Greenbrier facility. And Allen was opening up there. So he did little things like that for us. And then the city would buy a little, because we had little refreshments and we didn't have money. And so somebody, some city councilman would buy donuts for us, or the mayor said, "If you don't get anybody, I'll do it." So, you know, little things like that make our meetings nice.
For myself.
Oh, yes, uh-huh.
Because you have two mayors that really are elected with a good deal of black support.
Oh, yeah, uh-huh. Oh, yeah, they were very much. But well, by then, though, we'd gotten over our initial hurdle.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody was psychologically tuned. We didn't have any trouble then getting the speakers. Originally, we had trouble even getting the speakers to come. Everybody said, "Oh, it doesn't sound like it's going to be much." But after that, we didn't have time to program everybody who wanted to be on program. I mean, that was a great forum. I mean, we went all the way from 22 people that first night to 350, for our largest was like 412 people.
And with the goal of the organization being maintained, integrated, but the life began to dribble out anyway.
Right.
Did you have any connection at all with the Westside Mutual Development Committee? Was that defunct by this time? How about other organizations thought and other transition there? Was there any others that didn't come back to them?
Yes, we had people like Emory, what was that neighborhood called out there? The Rural Water. There's a white community out there who volunteered to help us move black people out there, and we did. We moved one black family out there. They wanted to make this a neighborhood of Atlanta. And so they said, "Well, you know, well, there's no need of moving out here because we got black people out here too." And I thought that was a wonderful program. So we had an exchange. So we planted a black family out there. One of the supporters of the group owned the house. They moved, and the people who were planting were not ready to buy yet. So they rented the house for about a year and a half. So at least the neighbors, they were there, you know, as neighbors.
They had some contact with at least three.
Yes.
Okay, I guess, you know, my concern with what had happened there is what I heard sort of behind the scenes, that Allen was not really supportive, that the whites in the area were in a sense expendable because they had not really supported Allen in his election anyway.
Well, I can tell you this, Matt, maybe somebody else knew all the politics of it. When you sit up in a meeting and you're talking about people's personal lives, they didn't talk a lot about politics. As a matter of fact, they wanted to keep politics out of it.
They talked about
They talked about their white daughter. They talked about their school. They talked about their house. They talked about their street, you know, having the trash out there, and talked about the devaluation of the property. That was all they were concerned about. And what happened? What do they eat next door? You know, I was absolutely, at that time, I really thought I knew everything, you know, about human nature. I learned so much, because I didn't know the prejudice ran in the direction it ran. To give you the prime example, the first night we met, of course they say you hope to have all these things, you hope to have equal number of blacks and whites, you hope to have a balanced number of male versus female. And so my first night, I knew that I was going to be a success to some degree because we had 22 people, 11 whites, 11 male, 11 female. What they did, though, the women's living room was long. So as each person came in, they formed sides. All the whites sat over here and all the blacks sat over there. Just clearly divided. And so I asked the hostess to serve coffee. And so she just had, you know, the coffee cup because she gave people a cup. So one spoon. And they told me, I didn't think anything about the spoon because all you did was going to stir. The end of the evening, one guy said, this meeting has helped me tremendously because I can see now my fears can be torn down. And maybe I'm not as prejudiced as I thought. And I realized that when I used a spoon. And I was like, wait, you could have to give me that again. And two other people shared that same thought with him, that, you know, they were a little apprehensive about using spoons. And so that was their level of progress, that they used a spoon, but some black person would use it. Everybody was stirred. They just lick it, they just stirred it. I don't know. But you'd be surprised the kinds of things people told. And some of those people still friends, you know, with me now. The growth was phenomenal. That's why, you know, I don't care where they live. You know, I mean, they ultimately moved, but they stayed a long time and learned that, you know, these fears we have are unfounded. You know, a lot of them were unfounded. And then we learned to care about each other. I was single at the time, and when I left home, I mean, left the meeting, you know, we stayed about 10, 11 o'clock at night, and I got home one night, and this one lady told me that she knew I had an unlisted number, but she got my number from the records. Because she was the secretary, and she said, and you know, I knew you were alone, and I just want to know that you got home all right, and I hope you don't mind if I, you know, just ready to call you. And then some people started caring about each other. Yeah, we really did. And to this day, I hear from people. I saw one lady who still lives there. I saw her in the shopping center or during Christmas. And there are at least six people I know who are still there, you know, who learned a lot. One lady's moved to Washington. She cares about us and still calls back and see how people are doing. And one lady had her neighbor, she stayed, and her neighbor had a baby. And was called away in an emergency one morning, and she just ran to the neighbor, the white neighbor, and said, oh my gosh, I've got to run downtown. And had no babysitter, you know, would you please take care of my baby? And so she said, sure. She said she would never have thought to do this. As the woman was driving out of the driveway, she flagged me out, wait a minute. You know, what do I feed this kid? She said, this will probably surprise you, but feed him the same. You know, my baby would eat the same thing your baby would eat, you know. And they laughed about it. But they come and tell us these stories, and that's how we, you know, we learn to just kind of laugh at a lot of the stuff that we can
learn. Well, I guess you have to laugh at it. It's pretty sad.
Oh, the school, oh my gosh, you know.
Do you feel like you got any more commitment from the city in regard to schools, getting after the blockbusting real estate agents really quickly? Would there have been, do you think the whites would have stayed?
Some of them would have stayed, but I think because of what happens there, when you keep hearing all the time that the criminal, if your neighbor's black, you could very well be one of the criminals, you know, who's pervasive around here, and so always run.
So that was a big scare, that was. Mm-hmm. But that must have cured that fear.
Oh, it did. You know, so that's why I say, you know, I don't agree with some of the things about the city, that they increased the patrol. We had, you know, schedule of policing in the area. They let us know how they had increased it. The police chief came, Herbert Jenkins was the chief, He came to meet with us to tell us, you know, anytime we got a problem. And some of us had some problems. Like one time I had a peeping Tom. And I didn't know, of course, you know, I'd have the same fears of, you know, a criminal. You know, I don't care what part of the criminal was. I don't want, you know, in my area. And I don't wait to see whether he's black or white. And nobody does. But we had reasons to call the police, various people did, and the response was just what anybody would want, very prompt.
So I guess the feeling here was to maintain a good middle-class community by the police department, you know, let's maintain, let's say, a good middle-class community. The whites move out, so of us at least maintain a good black middle-class community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but so you found out, too, that, and this what came out of all of our discussions and all of the meetings is that we really, all of us wanted the very same thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because even the white parents who had children, you know, the same age as that white parent, had the same concerns. They wanted dancing and cultural things or the swimming pool as anybody would.
That's probably the most important thing the whites found.
And that's what made us stay, I think, a long time. I think that's why our program lasted as long as it did, because a lot of things we found were really silly. And they found, you know, we were really fighting for the same cause. So when we go down to City Hall, we all went together. We had a whole section there, blacks and whites. So we don't want that low housing here, you know.
Were you fighting the projects for me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Were any putting in the neighborhood?
No.
They were really trying to dump most of the projects on the west side.
Yeah, well, see, that's what you do. You find a neighborhood where, you know, there's a lot of transition. Just put it there. The labor's quiet because everybody's coming and going anyway. So, no, we successfully fought it. And if I were a wrongdoer, and if I were not serious, I could have probably gotten rich under the table because those developers came to me, and I mean, I absolutely saw money. I mean, it wasn't a promise of money. I saw money. I had money just put on the table. I had money put in envelopes and said, I mean, you can kind of let me leave, but I'm going to tell you what's in there, you know, just don't fight it. We were just such successful.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. I don't want to tie up too much longer, so. But.